friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. It's great to have you tuning in with us today. We've got a treat for you. As you know, I was raised in a homeschool back in the 60s and 70s. We have homeschooled our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado for 9 to 20 years. Five kids, 14 to 22 years of age. And today we're going to talk about thinking out of the box. Get out of the box. If there was ever a time you got to get out of the box, it's right now. When it comes to the education of our children, who says we have to keep our children in K-12 school for 12 years before they get out, get a job, get college, get some experience, start working in the macroeconomy? Who says they have to be locked into the box for 12 years straight till they're 18 years of age? Today, very interesting story for you. Kip and Mona Lisa Harding are joining me on the program, and they have written a really neat book called The Brainy Bunch, The Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and believe it or not, I picked up a copy of it at the O'Hare Airport last Wednesday. Didn't realize this interview was happening, but it's right there. You find it in airports, bookstores, and it's flying all across the United States right now. They've been featured on the Today Show, and now they're joining me on the Generations broadcast. Kip, Mona Lisa, welcome to the program.
Well, great. Great to be here.
Wow, and I couldn't believe it. Homeschooling displayed at the O'Hare Airport. And, you know, I'm looking at a couple other books, kind of depressing, but your book stood out. And I'm opening it up, and it's all about home education and how God has blessed you guys. And,
yes,
you know,
he has.
It's amazing to have that testimony right there for the public to see. That's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
It is. God is good.
Yeah.
And when was it published?
May the 5th.
May 6th. Yeah. Just came out.
So it's brand new. Wow.
Brand new.
So this thing could be taking the United States by storm.
I hope so.
Well, you know, we really do hope so, but it's a paradigm shift for a lot of folks, the Christians out there, non-Christians, everybody. They have to think a little differently, outside the box. Can we educate our kids on our own, and do we need to hand them over to professional educators? Mm-hmm. Thinking that through, what's best for your family?
Yeah.
But even within the homeschool community, do we have to do every lesson in the workbook and answer every question? If, you know, little Johnny is totally whizzing through the math and he's 8 and he wants to do algebra, is that allowed?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're trying to give people permission.
And we skipped Saxon 7-8.
Thank you.
We felt kind of bad about it, but we just said, forget about it. We're moving on.
Well, you know, I actually heard that at a homeschool conference. Yeah. Someone gave me permission to skip it. And it was like, wow, really? Can I do that? Is that allowed? Are the Nazis, you know, are they going to come find me?
Do I get arrested for this?
Yeah. And you know what? When your kids get excited about doing that hyper lever math, that motivation, you can just feed on that for a long time.
Yeah. How did you folks get into homeschooling at the beginning?
Well, it was roundabout kind of way, really. Hannah, our oldest, was starting the third grade, and we were thinking it through. Mona Lisa had a friend that was already homeschooling and was telling her about it and encouraging her. And it was actually like on the third day after school had started, we finally just said, nope, we're going to keep her at home. And man, now we never look back. It was the right decision for our family. For some families, they do try homeschooling and then they go back. And I've never heard of stories where they end up behind. It's always they're ahead or back with their peers. So even if it doesn't work out for them per se, it's a great decision people can make.
Yeah, we just missed our kids at school all day, you know, and then having to come home and do all that homework. I think that's a common thing that homeschoolers go through. But the acceleration part of it just kind of happened. Like we said, skipping through busy work and realizing these kids can handle it, and they're actually more motivated if you let them go at their own pace.
Now, let me guess. You guys have PhDs in microbiology and space technology.
No.
I'm proud to say that I'm working on an associate's. I'm trying to get an RN degree, and I may never finish, you know, because the kids are kind of priority right now.
Yeah, you got an MOM degree.
Yeah.
We don't all have to be professional educators to teach our kids. And, you know, that whole high school and K through 12 way of teaching, I believe, might have slowed me down. I'm grateful to my teachers, and I'm thankful for a lot of the experiences. But at the same time, there's a lot of age segregation that goes on and that slowed me down. So, we feel confident in our ability to educate now, and we're just so happy that we're allowed to do it.
Yeah, and Kip did college the hard way in the military, getting his GI Bill, raising kids, and taking years to finish, and he's working on an educational doctorate now, and, you know, we're 45. So.
Right. Now, let me ask you about your kids. You think they're naturally motivated, or do you need to motivate them yourself?
Well, we know from Scripture that we are all naturally lazy, selfish, you know. But here's the thing. When you have a vision, you know, we know that people need vision. And when you present your kids with the vision and you say, if you finish this high school stuff, then you get to go to college. We call that in the book the college carrot. They get that. They're like, oh, you mean I get to go study music or history? Or get on the fast track to med school, because, you know, in Serena's case, she already knew she was going to be in school for many, many years. So that vision is, I think, the motivator. So it's not me pulling them out of bed at 5:30 in the morning saying, get to work. That would be too hard.
So does it tie into their individual gifts and their interests as well as to what they want to do?
Listen, life comes at you fast, and, you know, I joke around. One minute, you know, I'm windsurfing and having a good time, and I meet this Mexican girl in high school. Next thing you know, I got 10 kids.
It's fast.
Been married 27 years. Well, you know, you have a great radio voice. Just think if you were told, well, you got to delay that. You can't be a radio host. You know, and you have to go through all these years of education before you can finally live out your dream. We just think that you know, delayed gratification is a good thing when it's necessary, but when it's unnecessary, you may never live out that dream. And too many children never get to live out their dream.
And they may even lose their motivation and drop out.
Yeah, I can remember, you know, when I was homeschooled out on the mission field, I would listen to radio announcers, and I'd be practicing in my bedroom. You know, when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did when we came and hit American soil was I went to a radio station and got a little training right away. You know, as soon as I had the opportunity, I want to try this out. And I still do it after all these years. And I think a lot of kids, they have dreams. They have things they want to do. And I think to delay that can make the heart grow sick, as the Proverbs say as well.
You need to connect dots for them, like Kip always says. You know, Rosanna was very unmotivated about her geometry homework. But once she understood, you got to know geometry to get through physics so that you can be a good architect. You can't just jump and be an architect and build buildings that are going to fall down, you know. So once she understood, oh, it's not just mean mom saying I have to do my geometry, I need this to be a good architect, then she was motivated. And when she took those algebra classes and physics classes in college, very young, she was performing for the professor and knowing that this was really leading up to her career. So it was not that delayed gratification.
Yeah. And one of the other things I find is researchers are back scratchers oftentimes. They use terms like andragogy and pedagogy, and where children, you know, pediatrics is the study of, or helping kids out in the medical need. But in education, they use terms like pedagogy. And so they're classifying people and separating the kids from the adults. And I think it's unnecessary. I think American history is replete with people that famous people that did great things as teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so somewhere along the way and through the industrial age, we got to where we need to segregate everybody by age. And all it does is just grow a nation full of overly competitive people that aren't helpers and don't have that community spirit or wanted to, you know, make a difference in the world for good rather than just themselves.
So how do you keep your kids focus off of big money, material success versus the kingdom of God, helping the orphans, building relationships, and some of the things you've been talking about?
Well, I would say that, sure, it would be great if they all directly wanted to become missionaries, but because they have gifts that we don't have any control over, we point out, you know, you can be an architect for God's glory. You can be a doctor and serve him. You can do music. You can be a programmer. You know, anything that you're going to do, you can do it the best that you can. and for God's glory. So I think it's just part of every day looking and saying to your kids, you're here for a purpose. You were created for Him. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you're going to do. You're going to do it for God's glory. Mm-hmm.
And how are the relationships within the family?
Well, we've had some struggles. I mean, I'm telling you, we're a very real family. My son Heath has gone through a faith crisis. You know,
he's 18.
He's 18. You know, that's an age that's hard. And now he's already been out of college. So for most people, you know, the blame gets on the college when it could very well be kind of a time period that's hard on young men and women too.
Yeah, he already has his master's degree, so he's struggling and he needs prayer and. And he's our first son that, you know, is having a hard time. But we love him, and we just have faith that he's been trained the way he should go.
But the relationships are great, because when you're homeschooling, the bigger ones help the younger ones. So they're mastering subjects. They're learning to be in a society where, hey, when you go to the workplace, people are of different ages.
Right.
I have a mental illness in my side of the family, so – you know, my oldest daughter had a period where, you know, she just her personality changed overnight, and we had to get her some professional psychological
help. Yeah, and again, that was post you know, post-college. Two master's degrees and working.
The reason I tell this is because people need to understand we really are a normal family. It's not genetics. Mm-hmm. We have the same problems everybody has. We have financial issues. It's tough to fund college, but. When everybody pitches into a family, amazing things can happen. And when you just open yourself up to God and what He can do, watch what He does. I've seen my children where I have to tell them to turn off the light at night because they enjoy so much what they're studying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your kids can do that too if you allow them to study something that's leading towards a positive end.
Yeah.
Really encouraged to see Bible verses heading every chapter in your book. You don't hide your Christian testimony at all. Do you use the scriptures in your home?
Yes, every day.
Every Psalms, day. Proverbs.
Yeah. Yes, every day. Yeah. And you know, whatever they bring, some of them have gone to Christian colleges, some of them have not. It's just kind of either been a, you know, geography thing or finances, depending on their choices and majors too. You know, sometimes the Christian college may not offer, so they've had to go to secular schools, and so we've had to bring home what they're studying and check it with God's word. And, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to raise up a child. And they're always going to choose what you're setting the example. But, you know, there's that promise that if you're faithful, that they will return to it. And, so far so good. And we're counting on that.
Amen. Amen. I think we can all say amen to that. We got to be on our knees too. And you know, make it to 16. Okay. We still got to pray. Then make it to 18. We still got to be in prayer. Make it to 22. We still got to be in prayer. That's the way it's been for us. You know, it hasn't been, you know, easy, but it's been a journey of faith, you know, trusting in God, hoping in God's promises, and really believing that God is going to do amazing things in the lives of our kids.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, we're at such a time as this that's really amazing. If we're in Montgomery, Alabama. Mm-hmm. 50 years ago, you know, race was a big issue. This generation, I believe, is going to address this issue of age segregation at the young end of the scale, not just to do with is a person over age 40 or is it the elderly. It's the youth now have new opportunities in this information age that I'm finding we are one of the forefront people. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just stating a fact that we need now is the time that we need to go after this and help. You know, it's another opportunity for Christians to lead the way and make it
help,
happen.
And to help universities become more friendly to this, you know, more dual enrolled programs where kids have the opportunity to earn that high school credit. And I do want to point out that there's no misunderstanding that when our kids are 10 and a half, 11, taking a dual enrolled class, you know, we're not shipping them off to college at that age. They're still living at home. They can't drive, you know.
I take
them to class, standing outside, waiting on them. Mm-hmm. So it's a gradual process from the homeschooling into the college.
Right. And like this summer, Trina is taking online classes. She's age 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So again, I think the message we're trying to bring to folks is there's a lot of liberty. in a biblical way of looking at life, and we don't have to be caught in this box. We can get out of the box and find other ways in which to prepare our children for the calling that God has on their lives. Moreover, in history, you find John Quincy Adams in college as early as 12 or 13, Cotton Mather, Increase Mather, some of the biographies I've read recently of, you know, the old Puritans and the early Americans in the 1600s and 1700s were going to college early on, and they didn't have to wait until they were 16 or 18 years of age to do that.
That's right.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, the education system is making a lot of money for people. So, you know, people aren't in a hurry to graduate kids early out there.
And the other thing is, you know, a lot of folks, so, you know, when they critique our book, they think that we're out to attack the educational institutions, and that's not it at all. We're just saying this is a choice that might be right for a whole lot of families. Mm-hmm. And for others, not so, and that's totally okay. But another difficult part is accepting the government dollar. Do you want the government in your living room when you're homeschooling? Mm-hmm. Because their dollars naturally should come with some strings attached. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to be real careful with that because, you know, I don't want to have to issue condoms, you know, to be frank. And mm-hmm. I don't mean to offend anybody, but there's certain things I just don't want to have to deal or subjects I want to have to teach until I feel I'm ready to teach it.
Right. What the government funds, the government controls. And,
exactly.
And if they're funding it, they may be putting you right back into the box where you can't respect the principle of individuality. And to be fair also, some families simply will not see their children advancing anywhere near as quick as you did. Their kids may not learn to read till they're 12 or 13.
Right.
Yeah.
God
bless
them. God bless them, you know. There's some special needs out there. And then the kid learns how to read in 3 weeks, and he's got his PhD at 15. Okay, so
that's the better late than early idea.
Right, there's different approaches.
I believe in some of that.
Right, there's different approaches for different kids, and I think what we're saying is apply God's word, teach diligence, give your children a vision for life that includes the kingdom of God, His righteousness. You know, the whole gamut. Of whatever their calling is, as long as they do it for Christ, that's key, that's important. But here's a question I have for you. You're not the Chinese tiger moms.
No. You know,
I think people may have
my friends
impression.
Are laughing right now.
Uh-huh.
My friends are laughing.
I don't get the impression.
Like, no, not at all.
Yeah. So how does the Harding approach differ from the Chinese tiger mom?
Okay, well, in fairness to the author of that book, I've read a little about her. She's finished trying to fight that model. She actually, that wasn't her original intent to show that the Asian method is somehow that they're not sympathetic to children like Americans. And so I think in truth she wasn't that hardcore, but she was very much for math and science.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have a child that's a music major, and you know, I'd be glad to have an artist. But so for us, the thing is tapping into their God-given talents.
Yeah.
So we're not trying to make engineers artists or vice versa. We're just trying to, for our own family and for others, to say, hey, let's see what their gifts are and let's run with it. Let them be a gold medalist in whatever it is they want to do. And don't hold them back.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I do quite a bit of consulting over the phone, and people ask me, you know, if I do have an artist or a musician, you know, do they have to do calculus? And I say, well, that's really up to you. And I don't think so. I mean, unless the child wants to pick it up later in graduate school, mm-hmm. I don't think that's required for a bachelor's
sure.
in music.
Sure.
So, so you know, they just, a lot of moms like to hear that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't see my child who's the musician wanting to do that right now.
Yeah.
You know, people change their major and kids mature and decide, hey, I do want to learn calculus and want to do it on their own. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing, but to feel like you have to do it with each kid is not. And the same thing goes for our daughter, who's a math major, who took calculus 4 and whatever's after that. That's just crazy math classes. But she doesn't really like to write either. So, you know, she wasn't going to get a PhD in everything, you know, just the engineering and the math. So different kids will want to study different things. And moms need to know that they don't have to make it, you know, be that tiger mom saying everyone has to do the same thing.
Folks, Kip and Mona Lisa Harding have written a great book, The Brainy Bunch, The Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12, just released, Simon Schuster. And here's, why don't you summarize just for a second, all of your kids. Who are they? Where are they?
Yeah, Hannah, she got a master's in math at 17 and a master's when she was 19 in engineering. And now she's 26. She's worked for several years, tried a lot of different things, and she's just finished up her last class on a PhD in engineering at Tuskegee University, and so she's working on her dissertation. Rosanna got her Bachelor's of Architecture at 18. It was a five-year program in San Francisco, and she's put her husband through a master's degree, and now she's finishing up her master's, and she's at 23. She was the youngest member of the AIA, the American Institute of Architects. She's in New York.
Cooper Union.
Our daughter Serena, she's the third one. She got her bachelor's in biology at 17, and she became a Navy doctor at age 22. We believe she's the youngest in the Navy in the U.S. possibly, as you know, as far as we've checked records. She's at Bethesda right now in Maryland doing her residency, and she'll be headed to Hawaii in July to work with some Marines there. And then Heath got his bachelor's at 15. He broke everybody's record. He was our earliest reader at age 4, so we didn't have any babies reading or anything, but Heath was certainly very quick at learning to read at age 4, and he got his bachelor's at 15 and a master's in computer science at 17. And he has followed his father's advice and found a job online so he could work from home, and that's what he's doing now, and he's enjoying that. And then Keith just finished his bachelor's in music at 15, and he's trying to get a lifeguard job for the summer. And this fall, he's switching from music to counseling and or psychology at Faulkner University in a master's. And Seth is 13. He's a sophomore at Huntington College studying history. He wants to be an archaeologist. And Katrina was dual enrolled this last winter semester. At Faulkner University, she started at 10.5. She's now 11. She's taking two online classes right now at Faulkner, and she'll be a freshman this fall.
In legal studies.
And yeah, legal studies and slash maybe a minor in theater. She likes to sing and dance. And then we have Mariana, Lorena, and Thunder still at home homeschooling. And I'll be 46, and I don't know if the Lord wants to give us any more babies, but we're certainly open.
that's the dozen.
Yeah.
Did you always intend to have a big family, or just figured you take one at a time and see what God gives you?
Well,
be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
I guess we're very much like the Duggars in that sense.
Yeah. What a blessing. Children are a blessing. Every one of them, everyone different, a different kind of a gift, sort of like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but they're all going to be a chocolate.
That's right.
Well, are any of your children entrepreneurial-minded?
Yes, I believe Heath is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he's
online. Yeah, he likes doing online, and he was doing some what do they call it, digital currency, dealing with that.
And Rosanna's starting an architectural firm called San Arc.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, are your children thinking about homeschooling their own kids? What's it going to look like in the next generation? I think
I've heard that the Today Show asked that Rosanna, and she said that she would do her best. I think that they get it. I mean, I'm not saying that they won't have kids, and maybe their spouse will say, let's try preschool or whatever, but I think that they're going to see how inefficient it is. You know, they're going to see compared to what they went through. I mean, how they experienced it firsthand, the efficiency. It's kind of like when Kip says, why would you go across the U.S. in a wagon train when you can fly across? So, I mean, I'm not saying that none of my grandchildren will, because surely, depending on who they marry, they may try it. But I know that my kids cannot argue how inefficient things are.
And in the end, for the single moms that have pulled over on the side of the road and they're kind of in shock at what's being said, with a school teacher that's just scratching her head, can't believe the things we say, we have a heart for everybody. And it's different strokes for different folks.
Right.
And all I'm saying is, this is what's working for us. Mm-hmm. And it seems right for my family. So I hope my kids follow suit, but ultimately it's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of curriculum have you used for your children, and has that adapted over time?
Yeah, it certainly has. In the beginning, my good friend Lisa Brannell, I'll give her a shout out in Kansas, she said, to get started, just get workbooks for every kid, every age, every subject. Then it's because she knew I wasn't a good planner, you know. So that's what I did. Alpha, Omega, just handed them each their little third grade language arts, you know, kindergarten, math. That was great for beginners. I think that's a great way to start. You know you're getting everything. But we quickly went into non-consumable Saxon math, so I didn't have to keep paying for the workbooks. And then that's where we would skip through a few lessons. But now we have Khan Academy, tablet class, great online resources. Some of them are free. So the math has just shifted to just online. And then now we also just do ACT prep, SAT prep at, you know, 8, 9, and 10. So we jump right into that for math. And then for language arts, just the idea of reading and then writing about what you read. And then in the younger grades, dictating, copywriting, and learning punctuation that way. So I used to do a lot of grammar and that, but now we kind of learn it all as they're writing. And going to the library and picking out books.
Bottom line is it's got to be fun. If it's not fun, you've missed the mark. And your kids will let you know. And it's the same thing. The reason why we're asking them so young, you know, what do you see yourself doing in your career, is because that vision in their minds, that's a goal. And that's their goal. And we're supporting them in it. So that follows them all the way through in everything that they do. And we know we need a broad spectrum of curriculum, but you got to lump everything that's applied towards that point that they want to head in.
Do you find it's hard sometimes to identify their skills and interests early on, at least for some of the children?
But it starts with what do you want to study, what do you want to read about? So, you know, what's interesting to you?
And for dads, you know, because I see myself as like the principal and the visionary, it's ruling out those subjects that don't seem to work for them. So a process of elimination will help you find your way.
Okay, gotcha. Well, folks, what a story, a tremendous story, a neat little book, The Brainy Bunch, Harding Family's Method to College Ready by Age 12, available everywhere online. And Kip and Mona Lisa have been with us for the last half hour. This has been fun. Thank you so much, Kip and Mona Lisa.
Thank you.
It's been great. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
And you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we get out of the box and find out other ways in which folks have been educating their children and preparing them for life and for the calling that God has on their lives. Well, folks, you can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. And we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th to the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's CHEC.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432.